cause their word to come tonight. I yield myself unto you completely, Spirit of a living God. Speak through me. Let it be all that you desire for your people to hear that I speak tonight. None of me, but just completely of you. We give you praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It is good to hear the word of God. And tonight I'm going to speak briefly. Hopefully, I'm going to speak briefly. But we thank God for what we've been doing this month in terms of giving. And I'm going to talk along those lines briefly. I've struggled to speak this word, but I have to be obedient to speak that word. As I tried to prepare and I got direction in a line somewhere to go, I said, no. I want to go elsewhere. And then the more I resisted, the more I couldn't prepare. I had to yield. And I believe that indeed tonight this word is for somebody. And you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. We want to do a bit of foundation work before we go on. We talked about giving. And one of the things that I purposed in my heart when we started this month of giving, this study and all that, was that I would experience God as the ultimate giver. That was one prayer that I kept praying this month. And indeed, he's been faithful. Anytime you put him to the test, he will come through. But one thing that I want us to appreciate tonight is that you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Even if you decide to make your tithe 100%, you cannot outgive God. From beginning, he has been the giver. And he continues to be the giver. Because he changes what not. He's the same. He's the same God. And I just want us to get it tonight that in the midst of all we have heard, it is because we are created in the image of God. And if God is by nature a giver, then it means you are a giver. So when we talk about, we in the course of this month, we've talked about the fact that giving is grace. It's a grace thing. Or giving is by grace. So I began to ask myself, do we have to be praying for this grace? But if God has created us in his own image and he's a giver, then I believe that this grace is upon us. And that is why in 2 Corinthians 8, in Paul's discussion with the people of Corinthians, one thing that you find out in that scripture is that he was not admonishing them to be praying for that grace, but he was admonishing them to be excellent in that grace. It meant that that grace has been embedded in them. As long as you are a child of God, that grace of giving is part of you because you become what? The nature of God. And all you need to do is to what? Grow in that grace. Grow in that grace of giving. And because it is grace, then it means it is not end. It is not something you are working to do. It is God given. And therefore, if you are willing, there will be a performance. So when you read in 2 Corinthians, I think verse 8, 11, and 12, Paul says something to the people of Corinth. He said to them that, 2 Corinthians 8, I think it's 11 and 12. He said to them, now therefore, perform the doing of it. That is, there was readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Verse 12. And he said, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man had, and not according to what? That which he had what? Not. So in some sense, anytime there is the willingness, there is a performance. Because the grace is there. All you need is a willingness to do it, and there will be what? A performance. There will be what? An action. There will be what? Something that will come forth. And it's interesting when we think about giving, the body of Christ gets into a lot of discussion, which is healthy, which is healthy. And we all appreciate the fact that we are under the grace dimension or the grace episodes in terms of the church's calendar, whichever way you call it. So we have the law and then we have the grace. And when we talk about grace, we tend to forget that in the time of grace, there should be more abundance. In a time of grace, the output should be greater than under the law. Because the Bible says in Hebrews thereabout that the new covenant has better promises. So grace produces more. And therefore under the regime of grace, we should be able to what? To do extra more. So tonight what I want to do is to sort of set the base right that we have this grace to be able to give. And in giving, I like what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 8, because he tried to get them along the right line. So he said to them that in the giving that the Macedonians gave, they first gave of themselves. So that it's not about what? Finances, but it's about what? Yourself. It's about giving of yourself. That was what the first thing he started what to address. But how does grace and giving work in this relationship? If grace is by giving, then wherein lies the part we have to play? Because grace is not end. It means that what, as far as you are concerned, that statement lacks something. It is incomplete. In a sense to say that what, giving is by grace. There is a part of it that is missing because in some sense, it's not that we are working for it, that there is a role that we also need to play. Because you have to be willing and then you perform. And therefore the statement should accurately read, giving is by grace through faith. So the link in there is this threefold fold, which cannot be broken. So we have grace, you have what? The giving, and you need faith in that link. But I want us to begin to think along the lines of the relationship with our giving, and then the time in terms of to receive, and where faith has to come in. So Paul, in his teachings in 2 Corinthians 9, began to teach them about the fact that giving is like a form of what? Of sowing. And that is where giving, which is grace, has to go through faith. Because like the farmer, when he sows, there is a time to harvest. So there is what? Sort of what? A relationship between what? The two. In the sense that when you sow or when you give, the manifestation sometimes takes time to show forth in terms of what the seed that has been sown. So like a farmer, sowing would require the right soil. So this giving we are talking about, you always have to think about the fact that you need to sow in the right soil. And I'll talk about this with a bit of testimonies. And the other bit about sowing is that to sow and reap effectively, you need to make the best preparation for it. Because the farmer, in some sense, would have to really plan the whole process, prepare his seed bag and everything, and the process and the time and everything that he will go out there and sow that seed. So in as much as you need the right soil, you equally need what? The right preparation. And above all, you need to sow the best seeds. When a farmer is looking for the best result, he's going out there and picking out the best seeds that he's sure will come out with the best what? Harvest. So he wouldn't take a seed that he realized that there is a problem with it. He will sort out and pick out the best seeds and go out there and sow. And then finally, he will choose the right time. He will choose the right time. So these are the principles which we are going to sort of talk about, in the sense that what does it mean to sow in the right soil? What does it mean to sow in the right soil? Now, as far as we are concerned as a body of Christ, where you find yourself and you have decided to stay as your church, then that is the soil in which you are going to what? Sow into. Primarily. So in terms of any given, if it be financial or if it be of yourself, then I believe what the initial place where you have to sow would definitely be what? The place where you belong. So as far as you can sit here and say you belong here, then it means that what? This is what? Your right soil. That is where you need to sow into. Now, in terms of the preparation, what is required in that process is taking stock or planning your giving. Now, today, I want to depart a bit from finances or financial and talk about what non-financial in that sense. And therefore, in your service to God as a giving, is it a process that you really take time to prepare? Or you simply just decide to just come? Because if this is your soil and you're going to give into it, then it requires you to what? To do a bit of what? Of what? Preparation. It is essential to what? The seed that you're going to sow. And in terms of the best seed, you ask yourself, not financially, but in terms of your service, is that your best you are giving to God? If this is the right soil and you have the right preparation, is that your best you are giving in the process of what? Of that giving? Or in the process of that service? And finally, the right time. Now, what I want to do now is to begin to link this to something that happened. Last half night, it was a very good one. And I shared something briefly. But when I went home that night, as I was sleeping, I had sort of an experience with God. In some sense, I just woke up and he began to point something to me. Because I said a couple of testimonies or some of the things that God has done in my life, which I'll probably share a bit. I don't know where that pastor was in the spirit when he talked about the fact that indeed my life is a testimony, and I want to share that tonight. He said something to me. I said that what? These things that happened was by the grace of God or by the favor of God. But he said something to me. He said, you positioned yourself. So tonight, the title of my message is what? Positioning yourself for the overflow in your life. Positioning yourself for the overflow of God in your life. Now, what he said to me was the fact that what? I'll try and sort of do a bit of experiment here in some sense. Max, can I have you and then sort of just do the kind of thing that he sort of showed to me. Now, it is a favor of God or grace that manifests in our life, the goodness of the Lord in our life. But then when God is being good to you or he's pouring his favor, you need to position yourself. So if I'm to give this to Max and he fails to stretch his hand, it falls. If he positions his hand right, it falls in. Thank you very much. Now, what is the implication? The implication here is this. God doesn't waste resources. He gives only when you position yourself right. So I began to ask him, how have I positioned myself right? How do I position myself right? Or how have I positioned myself right? So he began to what? Take me through a few of the things that I have experienced and began to show me how I positioned myself right. And I believe that it will bless somebody tonight. He said what? Grace starts the process, but grace ends the process. Giving is by grace, but in receiving is the same way, it's by grace. Now, the reason why you need to position yourself right is simply to what? To get to the point where you can give glory to God, so that you can identify that it is God at work. And because grace ends it, because it is favor, you know that it is not by your works, but it's by what? Your right position. It is by the way you positioned yourself. So simply put, what you are simply doing is asking God to do you a favor. So when I ask Brother Victor to do me a favor, maybe I need some £5,000. And then I call Brother Victor and he says, oh, meet me at NatWest Bank. When I walk to NatWest Bank, I haven't worked for the £5,000. I've just positioned myself to receive it. So it is not working for it. You are simply positioning yourself in the place to receive that which God is giving, or that which God is what? Providing. And that positioning I'm talking about is giving of yourself. Giving of yourself. Now, let's see how it works. I'll start from a biblical perspective and then I'll begin to show you a few things and share a few things. Shall we look at Genesis 12, 1 to 3? Genesis 12, 1 to 3. I know there is time. Amen. Genesis 12, 1. Now, it said, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be what? A blessing. He said, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, what was the giving in that process or in that relationship? It is a decision by Abraham to what? Give of himself. Because in some sense, God simply told him, pack your things and just leave. Now, for whatever purpose he was living to serve God. He was living to just be obedient to God. But then, by his living or obeying that word, he didn't work for the blessing. What he simply did was to position himself right for the blessing. So, in the midst of all that he had, if he had a two-bedroom house, or if he had a big factory, he left all that and just positioned himself right to get that blessing. So, in some sense, by giving of himself, he positioned himself right to receive the favor of God, or to receive from God. So he gives of himself by positioning himself, and God gives in return. But when God gives in return, it was not a measure of he just living, but it was beyond that which he had what? Given. Because what he simply did, you could probably say, an equal measure would be that he leaves his house, a two-bedroom house, he goes wherever God has asked him, and God gives him a four-bedroom. That's okay, it's a double measure. But then God pronounced upon him a generational what? Blessing. That was what? Beyond that which he had what? Given. That which he had what? He had sacrificed. That which what? He had given away. So, in giving of himself to serve God, he positioned himself right to receive the best of God. So when Paul tells the people of Corinth that what? That the people of Macedonia, they first gave of themselves, because they needed to position themselves right to receive of God, or to receive the favor of God. Now, I want to share something briefly about myself, and then we'll go on from there. Now, I've been in this ministry, I think, since 2007. I think I'm right. Now, when I joined this ministry, I had a relationship with God, but it wasn't anything to write home about. So I needed a rededication to God. And lo and behold, I got the opportunity to do that. Now, in some sense, I come into this country to pursue my education, masters. But then when I did that and I sat under this ministry and it became my right soil, I started to sow into it. So I began to give of myself. And that night, when God woke me up, he said, that which you have enjoyed, it is of grace. And in grace, that gave you the capacity to give, but you positioned yourself to appropriate it. So how do we relate this with reference to the giving or the sowing that I talked about? Now, as long as I identified that this was my right soil and I said I was a member, then I knew that this was where I was going to sow. Now, in terms of what making the good preparation or making the preparation. Now, when I decided to give of myself, because that grace is in me and is in you, we've established that foundation. And therefore, I'm not a superhuman. The grace is there. Now, when I began to give of myself, I positioned myself for the goodness of the Lord. And I experienced some amazing things. Now, the reason why it is not working for and it's just a position is that when I gave of myself, the return that I got, you could not equate it. So I would have said, oh, I work for it. Because probably every time I was here at 4 to come and set up, and therefore, that's what's happening. But then when God began to show himself faithful in the things I was doing, that's those things outside. He said, when you are giving of yourself in my things, I give of myself in the things you are involved in. And if God is giving of himself in the things you are involved in, then he will outdo you. That is why I said he is the ultimate giver. He is the ultimate word giver. So I plan my time. I prepare to give of myself. I prepare. I'm not just giving anything, but I prepare. So I plan my day. I plan my time. Because I'm not just giving anything. God is not interested in what? The extra or the excess. He's interested in what? Your best. So the farmer sows the best seed. The farmer, he sows the best seed. So, I made a decision to sow the best seed. I don't come and then spend the rest of the time elsewhere and I'm tired and when I come, this is where I'm coming to sleep. Or this is where I'm coming to rest. Or this is where I'm... So, you have to read. I mean, in doing the masters, it's not easy. Those who have done it. It takes a lot. But I give of myself first unto God. So I give God the best of my time. So if I know that if I go and get myself involved in this, I'll be tired and when I come, what I'm giving to God is not the best, then I'll withdraw. I will not go in that line. I will not get involved in that line because the giving of yourself, it has to be what the best word seed. So don't give your best time to the world and come and give God the excess. He's not interested. If you are giving of yourself, give of yourself. You position yourself to receive God's best. And his best will outdo you. So I enjoyed the goodness of the Lord. It is not easy to do masters here and get a distinction. It is not easy. It wasn't that when I came, probably when I was coming, I was the best wherever I was coming from. Yes, I wasn't that bad. But when you come here, I don't know your experiences, when you get into the classroom and you see the discussions going on, you feel that, no, if I was the best there, here it looks like I'm below. You identify with the environment and see what is going on. But my friend, I gave of myself and God was faithful. I positioned myself to enjoy of the goodness of the Lord. I saw him come through in understanding in the things I'm reading. So when things would have taken a lot more to understand, God is faithful that when I go back to these things and I'm looking at them, I have quick understanding. I know exactly what I have to read to understand. He enlightens me because what I have given of myself, not because I am working for it, I have positioned myself right. And God was coming through. Came through first semester, came through second semester, came through the last semester, and it was a distinction. I'm not saying this to be boastful. As I said, I struggled to speak this word, but that was what I'm meant to speak, and I'm speaking it because God has asked me to. Because I positioned myself right. And in the midst of it all, I saw the faithfulness of God in the end. Because that which I had desired to do a PhD, I could have decided to do 100% of myself in the library. It was an option. Because it's a route others go. In the world, they go through that route and it works. So some people decide to, they don't sleep, they are in the library. So the key point is that those in the world, they commit themselves to whatever they are doing. They commit. They don't do halfway. If he has determined that he's going to make this thing work, he would invest all of his time and he will not entertain friends who will say, oh, let's go and do this. No, he wouldn't, because what? He has committed himself, or he has given of himself for that purpose. So I was sharing with Brother Victor about a documentary I listened to about millionaires and poor people, and they asked millionaires how many times in a week they watch television. And they asked people who were poor how many times they watch television. And you can see the big difference. For those who want to make it, they commit themselves because they know that that system would work. So if this is your right soil and you are committing of yourself, commit yourself fully. Because the world system, they are doing it and it's working for them. But I thank God that in this system, God is the ultimate giver. So that when you commit to it, it is not a man's reward. It is not you working for it. But what you have done is position yourself to experience the uncommon favor of God, which supersedes that which what you could have done for yourself. So I went on. I committed. Now when I began to see these things happening, I was crazy for God. I committed more. I committed more. Because it is easy for you to get complacent in the process of this. It is easy. But I committed more because I know that what? I was positioning myself and not working for it. So I started my PhD program. PhD student. Victor, how is it? I mean, it's not, you cannot sum it in, you know. In the first year, it is not a joking matter. Richard is there. It's not easy. It involves, you need to commit some time. You need to work at it. Now, in the midst of all this, I'm not saying I wasn't studying. I was. But I had given of myself because I said this was not the right soil. Like this farmer goes to sow, so I'll give up my best. In the midst of it all, I committed more. And God was faithful. Look, it is not easy to teach in this country. But in the process of my PhD, 3 years consecutive year after, I was the best teaching assistant in my department. I don't speak Queen's English. So the student there, communication itself could be a problem. I don't know how to slang and to communicate my point across. But what I'm trying to say is that when you position yourself right, God will make it possible. So that you are not saying you are working for it. It is still what? The grace that is at work. Because you have given of yourself fully. You have given of yourself your best. And therefore God is coming through. You have positioned yourself what? Right. In the midst of it all, I had an unfortunate experience. My main supervisor left the university. So the person who was supposed to supervise me suddenly left for no reason. I'm not sure why. But at that point, it meant that what I was going to, obviously whoever would take me on would have to restructure. Because maybe that's not his expertise. Maybe he wants to go. And that happened. So I had to restructure. The key point here is that there will be challenging times that would what? Ask for your time. But where do you squeeze? Do you squeeze God or you go look elsewhere and squeeze other things? Do you cut down on social time? Do you cut down on WhatsApp time, Facebook time? Who would suffer? Is it God? I'd given of myself. And it's amazing that after 4 years down the line, when it was time to do my viva, that supervisor who left was the one who came to be my external. Now, let me say something to you. As far as the university policy is concerned, if you are in a university, you need to be away for 3 years or more to be able to come back and be an external. Would you say it was not God at work? It was God at work. And this person we are talking about is not, you say, oh, where's issue of integrity? This woman is the head of the business school in Birmingham University, which is a Russell Group University. So integrity is high. She's a full-blown professor. But that is what God can do when you give of yourself and position yourself to experience of his goodness. Tonight, I'm just here to challenge you that Paul was right when he said they first gave of themselves. The people of Macedonia first gave of themselves because probably they understood what it means to give of yourself. You position yourself right to experience what? God's goodness and his favor. Look, it is interesting to see what God would do in the process of all these things. And from one testimony to another, one testimony to another, not because I was the most righteous person, but because I had simply positioned myself right. And by the time I had finished the PhD, I was lecturing in the department. So I wasn't only teaching assistant for maybe a classroom of 18, but I was teaching a group of over 200 before I had finished my PhD. Now the point I'm making here is, as a university, as a top university of that nature, they are very particular whoever they will put in front of their students. Especially first years, because they are your market base. You want to get that right. You want to get that spot on. And I had the first years, and I was their first lecturer they had when they came to the university. Because the lecture time for my module was Monday 9. So their first contact in the department as new student was with me. That is positioning yourself right to enjoy the uncommon favor of God. You are not working for it, but you have what? Giving of yourself. And at the end of the module, after evaluations had come, and I was walking through the corridor, the secretary saw me and said, "Hey, have you seen the evaluation? It's fantastic. It's amazing." I don't speak Queen's English. As I'm speaking now, you can hear it. But when God is in it, the result is different. Tonight, I'm here to challenge you. Paul said they gave of themselves. If this is the soil you have found yourself, you think this is the right soil, I challenge you to give of yourself. And as the sower proceeded, he gave first what? The right preparation. The best soil, the best seed. And it was what? The right time. Commit on another level. If you are 30% of your commitment, tonight I've come to challenge you. Take God onto another level. Give of yourself onto another level. You are not working for it. You are positioning yourself right to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And there is more, but for the sake of time, let's move on. But we bless God for that. Now let's talk about finances, or giving financially. Indeed, Paul talked about the fact that they gave of themselves, which is key, but he went down to talk about giving financially as well in 2 Corinthians 9. And I've written here is that the reason why you will struggle to give financially is because sometimes you haven't given of yourself. He said, if you struggle to give financially, check the status of how much of yourself you are giving to God. I repeat, if you are struggling to give financially, check the status of how much of yourself you have given to God. If you have given yourself entirely to God, why would finances bother you? Because you have sown everything. You have sown your time. You have given everything. Why would giving to God become a problem? It wouldn't. Because what? By you giving of yourself, you have created a very intimate relationship with Him. That if you give, it wouldn't stress you or it wouldn't worry because you have got to know Him much better. Let's read 1 Kings 3, 4, and 5. We know of the story of Solomon. 1 Kings 3, 4 to 5. I hope you are being blessed tonight. Amen. It said, and the king went to Gibeon, that's Solomon, to sacrifice there. For that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. So this is Solomon giving beyond with reference to what? His finances. And the Bible says what? That God would came through with a blank check. And ask of him what? Ask whatever you want. And I'll give to you. Now, as I said, under the dispensation of grace, our giving financially is expected to go on to another level. Because grace is abundance. Grace is not, the law is limited. Under grace, there's no limitation. Limitation in what you enjoying the grace of God means that what you're giving also has to be what? On another level. So when it comes to issues of tithe and all these things, we have to be very, very careful about it when in terms of grace. But I want us to read something quickly from Haggai 1, and then I'll stress something, some few things there. Amen. Shall we read from Haggai 1? A couple of scriptures, I think of 12 verses, and then I'll say a couple of things and then would pray. Amen. So that's the prophet Haggai ministering to. I'll read down to, I think, 12, so as you read it. I said, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, and in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of what? Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of what? Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaking the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's read on. We'll come back to, we'll deal with them. It said, ye have sown much and bringing in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. You drink, but you are not what? Filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. And ye that earneth wages, and wages that put it into a bag with holes. That says the Lord, consider your ways. These are a group of people who had lost focus in terms of what they were supposed to do. And it's interesting to say that sometimes when they earn their wages, but then the wages were not enough. It felt as if there was somebody drawing on the wages. Issues began to come up. Probably means that the money that you have probably budgeted to spend, problems come up. Then you have to go and use the money for it. Sometimes we don't really get that. We don't connect it. But when you forget about your giving with reference to the house of God, it is not that you are giving God, God wants your money. The key point is the fact that it will cause the money to do a lot more, the little. But in the experience of these guys, what had happened to them was that whatever they had was never enough. Because they had lost the priority. And God said what? Provision wrongly used is abuse of heaven's resources. Provision wrongly used is an abuse of heaven's resources. If we said that our giving or all that we have, we are simply stewards of it, then we need to what? Always be connecting and finding out from God what is the purpose for the monies that we have or the things that we possess. He said the provision without a purpose will be wasted. And that's what was happening to these people. They lost the purpose for which the provision they had was given. It was time to build the house of God, but they were busy building their own houses. And it was what? It was not prospering. Because what? The provision has been misapplied. And therefore, it fails to what? To serve the purpose, or it fails what? To be prosperous in the things that they are involved in. And therefore, when they get the money, issues come up. Tomorrow, you have this problem. Tomorrow, you have this other problem. Tomorrow, you have this thing coming up. Because what? The order has been what? Misplaced. As we heard what? Last week. Shall we read on? I want to stress on some parts. Say, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified here, the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, ye run every man unto his own word. House. It said, go. Verse 9. It said, go up ye to the mountains. I think we've read that. Shall I have 10? 10, 11, 12. That's what I'm reading to. It said, therefore, the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And that's my focus. It is about positioning yourself right. Because when the heavens open, the first time the heavens opened in the Bible, there was a flood. It means that it is not about you giving and working, thinking that you are working for it, and therefore you are giving God £10, you should come back £10. But you are positioning yourself for an overflow. And the Bible said that because these guys had ignored the purpose for which God had provided for them, they had failed to be good stewards of what God had handed to them. It said what the heavens over them was stayed from what due. It was what, there wasn't what, the rain, if you see, in some sense, during that time, the rain wasn't coming to fertile the land for them, for it to be fruitful. There was more like what? A sort of a famine. And therefore what? They were less what? Fruitful. Because what they had failed to prioritize in terms of what? The building of the house of God. If this is your place, your right soil, then I believe that God calls of you to abound and excel in this grace. And what is that grace? To give of yourself first, and then secondly, to sow into the place where you call your right soil. But the key point here is that I don't want us to think that we are working for it. It is positioning yourself right. Because if it's working for it, then grace is not in the process. But then your giving is by grace, as we establish, but your receiving is equally by grace. All you are doing through faith is positioning yourself right to enjoy of the goodness of the Lord. I want us to be on our feet. I had a couple of things to talk about in terms of other testimonies, but let's be on our feet. And we want to do something briefly. Everybody here, if you can, you want to be on your feet tonight. I've said a couple of things tonight. If you know for sure that this is your right soil, if you know for sure that this is your right soil, tonight you want to begin to ask God, how much of myself am I giving? How much of myself am I giving? I want to hear some people communicating with God. It is not about you trying to work it out. It is about positioning yourself right. I don't know the things you are doing that you are struggling in. For me, when I position myself right, I've never looked back. Because God has not failed. God has been good in the things that I'm involved in. In my job, in my finances. For the sake of time, we couldn't share a lot more. But tonight, you want to ask yourself, if this is not your place, your right soil, wherever you think it is your right soil, you probably might have come to visit. You want to ask yourself, how much of myself am I giving? Ask God. And tonight, you want to pray and make some commitment. That God, I want to move on to another level. I want to give of myself. Yes, like the sower, I'm going to prepare and sow that best seed. I'm going to prepare and sow that best seed. If it's my financial giving, is it that I'm just coming and it's time and I just writing it on the envelope and I say, God, have it? Is it that best seed? Or have I prepared that seed? Have I taken my time and say, God, what is the seed you want me to give? How much of it do you want me to give? Tonight, you want to pray unto God. You want to commit yourself into the hands of God. And you want to say, that Father, if I am in the choir, that is where I'm giving of myself. Am I giving of myself as you desire? Or am I giving you the excess of my time? If I'm just a lady, or I'm the one who just come to church and listen to the word. Even in that place, Father, am I giving of myself? What time am I even coming to come and hear the word? How am I sowing into the word? Am I running with the word that I hear? Yes, because it means you are giving of yourself. You are giving of yourself means you take the word and you run with that word. You are giving of yourself because you go on your knees and you are praying. Because you have heard the truth. Because you have heard the word of God and you want to run with it. You want to begin to pray for yourself. And say, Father, tonight I want to move on to another level.